Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 are going to be our text. There was a man many years ago whom the Lord God revealed the scripture to. And he caused that man to preach. And he gave that man the outline of scripture. And he showed that man that all scripture says the same thing. And that man's name was John Calvin. John Calvin didn't come up with anything new. He did not invent a doctrine. The doctrine of Christ was just revealed to him. I agree with my brother John Calvin. I really do. I love that man. I agree and believe that all five of those points are set forth in the scripture. But a man or a woman can cling to a doctrine and not cling to the Christ of that doctrine. I believe in the five points of Calvinism. I preach them. And the reason that I do is because that's what the scripture sets forth. All I'm doing is preaching the Word of God. And as a person preaches the actual Word of God in truth, in context, as he wrote it, a person will preach what the world calls Calvinism. Because John Calvin didn't come up with anything. All he did was set forth what the Word says. Now, with all that being said, the Lord did give our brother John Calvin the clear outline of truth. And the title of this message this morning is called Tulip. That's the five-point outline that John Calvin wrote down. Tulip. T-U-L-I-P. And this is what Tulip stands for. Total depravity. Total depravity. What that means is, man by nature is completely, totally depraved. It means man is born into the world with no good in him. No good. Nothing but sin. Man outside of Christ by nature is totally depraved. Every scripture says that very thing. The U stands for unconditional election. We know what the word unconditional means, don't we? We know what the word election means. The L stands for limited atonement. And what that means is, Jesus Christ didn't die for everybody. Irresistible grace. Grace means free gift. And then the last one, P, T-U-L-I-P. P stands for perseverance of the saints. That means all that God the Father gave to God the Son, every person that God the Father gave to God the Son, they're all going to be with Him in glory, every one of them. Now, this is what false religion preaches. This is the message of error. A message that goes against the Word of God. It says, depravity is not total. It's in some, but it's not in all. And if it is in all, then there's a little bit of good in everybody. It's not total. There's a little bit of good in everybody. Born into this world by nature. That's not what the Word of God says. False religion preaches that election is conditional. God will choose you. God does the choosing. but you have to do this or that first. It's conditional. That's a false message. False religion preaches that the atonement, the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, was universal. Christ died for everybody. Well, that's not what the Scripture teaches. A person's going to say, well, what about John 3:16? And then verse 17. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. What about that? Well, our Lord clarified what He meant in Revelation chapter 5. He said He's going to redeem a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, nation. He's going to do it out of every generation. But He's not doing this for the whole world. Because John 3 verse 18 says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Some are going to be condemned. That's not the whole world, is it? False religion preaches that grace can be resisted. They say Jesus Christ wants to save you if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. You have the ability to resist Him. Not according to God's Word. He said, I will work. And who shall let it? Who's going to stop me? False religion preaches that man can fall away. Man can fall away if he doesn't keep himself. You know, the Lord helps those who help themselves. That is not what the Scripture teaches. That's not what the Scripture teaches. If the Lord will open our eyes to the Word of God, He will reveal to us the true outline of Scripture, just like He did to our brother John Calvin. All right, now let's look at this outline. Ephesians chapter 2 is our text. Verse 1 says, and you hath He quickened. Quickened. Saved. Made alive. Regenerated. Redeemed. Who did He do this for? You. Is that you? Universal? Is everybody you? Well, turn with me over to John 17. Let's look at John chapter 17 together. Verse 1 in John 17 says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Verse 6. I have manifested Thy name unto the men, which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me. And they have kept Thy word. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas was not you. He was not a you. Verse 20 says, our Lord said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He said, I came not to call the righteous. I didn't come for them. Romans 8 says, whom he called, that's who he justified, and that's who he glorified. So our text says, those whom he did save, that's who he's talking to. That's who he's saying you to. Back over in Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Total depravity. Dead in trespasses and sins. Total depravity. Total means complete. All of it. All of it. You hath he quickened who were dead. Dead. You know, we understand what that means physically, don't we? We see something dead and we understand perfectly what dead means physically. But for some reason, we have the hardest time understanding what that means spiritually. What does it mean to be dead spiritually? It means the exact same thing as it does to be dead physically. Dead. Lifeless. Total depravity. Dead. Stinking, rotting, dead. Depravity means morally bad. Total. Morally bad. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Can any of us deny that? Can we? We may put up a front to everybody else, but as we get honest with our minds and our own hearts, not speaking out loud, just honest before God, in ourselves, can any of us deny what Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3 is saying about us? Our Lord God said that He looks on the heart. He said to think it, in His eyes, is to do it. It's the same as committing it. It is to commit it. If that's the case, are any of us better now than we used to be? Religion, false religion is built on, I'm not what I used to be. Well, I used to be bad, but I've changed. And the Spirit of God in a person does cause a change. It does. But here's the question. If in the eyes of God, thinking sin and evil is the same thing as doing it, are any of our thoughts right now better than our actions used to be? Really? Really? Search deep. Let's be honest. Let's get honest. We have to get honest. Do you know what the true honest answer is? Total depravity. Total depravity. If I get honest with myself and with God concerning me, I have to acknowledge to Him and to myself, and I acknowledge it to you right now, total depravity. That's what I am. totally depraved. How can a person like that be saved? You could see how a good person could be saved. A person worthy of it could be saved. How can a person like me be saved? When the Scripture says that the only ones who will be allowed to stand in His holy place are those that have clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. How can a totally depraved sinner like you and me be saved? Would you like to hear how? Here's the answer. Here's the true answer based on the Word of God. Unconditional election. Isn't that wonderful? Unconditional election. Our text in Ephesians 2, verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4 says, but God. That is salvation. That is salvation. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Us. We've already established that He's not talking to everybody. He's talking to us. Look back at chapter 1, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us. He elected us. And that's what an election is. You choose. When you vote, you choose. He chose us. Elected us. Before anybody or anything was created, He did it before the foundation of the world. Therefore, His election was unconditional. Unconditional. If every man and woman is totally depraved, if every man and woman is in the exact same boat, if every man and woman is dead, then it has to be unconditional. It has to be. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 9. Romans 9 verse 10 says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The Lord said in John 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me. You have not chosen me. False religion has to acknowledge that election is in the Word of God. It plainly says that God chose election. But here's where they get it wrong. They say, God cast a vote for you, and the devil cast a vote against you. Now you decide. You're the deciding vote. Election. That's not election. That's not what election is. God said, you have not chosen me. I'm totally depraved. If that was the truth, I wouldn't choose God. I'm totally depraved. The gospel is, the Lord said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's election. This is a sovereign God. He does as He will with whom He will. And election is simply this. It's Him choosing to save whom He will. If He saves a person, then that person was one of His elect. Now, if He elected to save me, how did He save me? I was in the same boat with everybody else, totally depraved. How did He save me? Well, our text back over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Even when we were dead in sins, He caused us to live with Christ. Live with Him. Romans 5, verse 6 says, For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who gets all the glory in this? Christ does. Verse 10 says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What that means is, when He arose, all of His elect arose. Everyone. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. What that means is, if we died in Him, we live in Him. Quickened together with Him. He died. He made an atonement. He paid the price. But here's the truth. This atonement was not universal. It was not. If He did not choose to save everybody, why would He pay the price for everybody? And if He paid the price for everybody, how could God put anybody in hell? If Christ paid the price for everybody, how could God put anybody in hell? If their price had been paid, that's injustice. Think about it. What if we read in the newspaper, or what if we saw on the news, a man was found not guilty, but the judge sentenced him to life in prison anyway? Well, that's injustice. That's wrongful judgment. That's punishing an innocent man. If his price has been paid, this atonement that Christ made is for His elect and only His elect. It is His limited atonement. This atonement was not limited in strength. He did not save everybody because He couldn't save everybody. No, no. This atonement was not limited in measure. You know, He did the majority, now the rest is up to you. No, it's not. It was not limited in ability at all, but it was limited. Not one drop of His precious blood was wasted. Not one drop. It was limited to and used only on His elect. That's it. Now, if we're totally depraved, why would He choose us and die for us? If we're totally depraved, if there's nothing in me that drew Him to me, because in my flesh I'm a wretch. Why would He choose me and die for me? Why would He do that for us? Here's the answer. Grace. Grace. Our text over in Ephesians 2, verse 5 says, the end of it says, By grace ye are saved. My margin for that portion says, By whose grace ye are saved? He's a gracious God and a merciful God. The Lord is good. Grace means gift, free gift. He did all the giving. We did all the receiving. It's the gift of His Son and the gift of His blood. Do we have the ability to take that or leave that? Do we have the ability to accept it or just reject it? No! We're dead. We're dead. We've got to go back to the beginning. The Lord called His apostles, Peter and Andrew. He said, follow Me. Matthew, leave the money. Follow Me. He didn't ask them. He told them with authority, follow Me. He met with Abraham. Abraham hit the dirt. He met with Moses. Moses hit the dirt. He said, take the shoes off your feet. The place whereon you stand is holy ground. He met with Isaiah. Isaiah hit the dirt. He cried, woe is me, I'm undone. He met with Saul of Tarsus. Saul hit the dirt. He said, what would you have me to do, Lord? He met with John on the Isle of Patmos. John hit the dirt. Authority comes. He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Who's going to stop me? That's grace. God's wonderful grace. Thanks be to God, it's irresistible. And the precious blood of Christ given to a sinner makes that sinner irresistible to God. Irresistible. Well, let's close with this question. The Lord began the work. He had to. We were totally depraved and dead in our trespasses and sins. The Lord began the work. Do I have to finish it? Must I keep myself in His good grace? Well, we just heard Him say, there's none that can deliver out of my hand. Hebrews says He is the author and finisher of our faith. Philippians says, be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 says, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's called perseverance of the saints. If we persevere, if we make it, it's only going to be because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of anything we did. Verses 1 through 3 right here tell us what we did. Verses 4 through 7 say, but God, for His great love, He loved us. He quickened us together with Christ. By His grace we're saved. He raised us up. He made us sit together that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. All of it is through Christ Jesus. That is the outline of God's Scripture. May He teach that outline to us. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.